I'm going to spend a few minutes now talking about a lawsuit. This is a lawsuit against Big Oil, and it's coming from perhaps a surprising location. We're going to talk with Alistair Bland right now. Alistair has written about this for NPR. Welcome to the show this morning.
Hi, Barry. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Appreciate your time. Give us the elevator speech on this. How do we get into this conversation?
As I think most of us know, that scientists are saying the Earth is getting warmer, and that's caused in the Pacific Ocean an increase of temperatures, water temperatures, and that promoted blooms of, in the last few years, blooms of a certain kind of algae that creates domoic acid, which is at high concentrations toxic, and that's entered the food chain and food web, and it gets into crabs, Dungeness crab. And so the last few years, they've been unable to sell the crab because it's too, at certain times of year, so the season was shut down. And so you see the connection. The crab fishermen are, this has happened several years in a row, and they're deciding that the oil industry is to blame for this.
Mm-hmm. And while if you believe in human-caused climate change, and if you've looked at the science, you can see the connections, still seems like a difficult connection to make in a court of law.
It does, and I is it a difficult connection? It could seem like a stretch, but the warming temperatures, the warmer water, causing the domoic acid in the crabs. I mean, that's the link right there, and it's a pretty strong link, I think, and we'll see how it goes in the courts.
I guess it's getting the court involved to do what the Trump administration won't do, and that's to accept the science.
Yeah, well, yeah. I wonder if it's a matter of accepting science, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. So there are these are independent fishermen, is this a company or a coalition, or are these independent fishing boats?
They're independent fishing boats. They're men and women who own relatively small boats, but they're members. They are members of various groups. One of them is the Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Associations, and it represents several hundred fishing boats, fishermen and women with fishing boats.
And as you mentioned, over several years where you had essentially a contaminated crop that couldn't be harvested and couldn't be bought and sold, what do these people do when they can't fish, when what they do, essentially are out of business for a year?
Yeah, they talk about the hardships often of being out of work, and they don't only fish for crab. Most of these fishermen also fish for salmon in the summer, which has also been shaky for the last few years for other reasons. But they fish for other things too. Most of them are not only relying on crab, so they've got some other cash flow.
Mm-hmm. And yet, I would guess the crab is a high-ticket item, and it's probably, when you have a good year, it's probably really good.
I think it is. Yeah, they talk about I don't know the numbers exactly, but they talk about how lucrative it is. And the season opens in November right before Thanksgiving, which is a hot time to buy it for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So when the season closes at that time, they miss out on that.
Yeah. This isn't the first time that people have sued oil companies for climate impacts. Is there any track record here for us to look at as to whether this can be successful?
There have been several dozen lawsuits filed by cities and counties and some local ones as well right here in Northern California. And recently a group of children in some form sued basically for the future that they're going to be facing. But several of those lawsuits, like one filed by, I think jointly by Oakland and San Francisco, they were tossed out by the court. And the exact reason is eluding me right now. But yeah, the court decided that it lacked merit of some sort and tossed out several of these lawsuits. So that's the track record so far.
Yeah, and certainly no guarantees. You can understand the frustrations of those in the industry and many, many organizations and people around the world who would like to see some culpability. Is the what court is hearing this case, by the way?
That's the Superior Court of San Francisco County, I think, is hearing the crab. Fisherman, fisherman suit.
Very good. What's the timeline on that? When does it get heard?
Yeah, I asked a lawyer about that who I interviewed, and he said it's probably one of these things that's going to take years with appeals, depending which way it goes, appeals by both one or both sides. So it's a long process.
And how are the oil companies responding so far?
Well, they seem to. Exxon, for example, seems to have sent out after being in contacted by reporters, pretty much sent out the same canned, so to speak, statement to each reporter, each newspaper, and it basically says they're saying that climate change is an issue that the whole world needs to tackle at once, and this lawsuit is not. It's not bringing us together in that kind of collaborative way, so it lacks merit. And that's been their response, and I think they haven't been very open, in my experience, to wanting to talk about, discuss the lawsuit and discuss, for example, discuss the what seems to be facts, the facts that the oil industry probably intentionally hid from the public for many decades, known science about how this was going, fossil fuel combustion was going to harm the planet in the long term. They seem to have known this for many decades and hid it from the public. And that's something, for example, I would have liked to talk to some representatives of the oil industry about, but I've had the chance.
For sure. You reference in your story for NPR a New Yorker article by Bill McKibben. What you're saying here is that it wasn't just a matter of ignoring or keeping quiet about what they knew, but sort of actively misinforming the public.
That seems to be the case. I haven't done this research myself, but it's been widely published in major publications. And they seem to have had scientists working for them a few decades ago. So all this stuff that we're hearing now, some people had an idea of this decades ago, and they kind of brushed it under the rug. And they actually reportedly were building up their own infrastructure, elevating oil rigs in anticipation of sea level rise, and protecting coastal infrastructure, maybe refineries against sea level rise. They had an idea this was going to happen, and they tried to keep the rest of the world from knowing about it. That's what's been reported.
Man, that is the ultimate in irony, the idea that you'd be protecting an oil rig against sea level rise caused by fossil fuels. Profit motive is powerful. What are the expectations of people who have gone into court with the oil companies in the past? Is there an expectation of eventual success here?
I asked one of my sources, I asked him that, and he said he feels that this case has has more chance of success than the other ones because of the very specific outcome, which was very clearly linked to warming waters. He feels that the link in this particular case is stronger than maybe some of the more nebulous general motivations for the previous lawsuits. He feels that this one has a stronger cause-effect that could lead to a victory.
So I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the crab season's underway around Northern California. Do we not have a domoic acid problem this year?
Good question. There, in the northern part of the state, there definitely was a domoic acid problem, and it was closed, delayed for, and I'm not sure now if it opened yet, up in Mendocino and up toward Oregon. I don't, but there certainly, excuse me, there certainly was a problem. We didn't have it in the Bay Area. And anywhere that the season, that they're selling crab, I think the public can rest assured that the crab is safe to eat.
Yeah.
It's they test it like weekly, the Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like lettuce. Is it? They don't just put it on the market and find out if it makes people sick. They actually know in advance. That's good to know.
Yeah, I think well, you know, they test a sampling of the crab. They don't test every single crab that goes to the market. So it's like, but they're all eating the same foods out there in the ocean, and so they test one, and you know, then they assume that a thousand others are safe.
Yeah,
so it works that way.
Testing process is a good thing. We're talking here with Alistair Bland, who has written on how fishermen are suing big oil for their role in climate change. It's in NPR, published on December the 4th, npr.org, if you'd like to read it up for yourself. Alistair, thanks for your time here today, and happy whatever you're celebrating over the next couple of weeks.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. And yeah, it'll be Christmas, I think.
Okay. All right. Hope it's a good one. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
7:21 at the KVON Morning Show. Can efforts like that make a difference long term? Some in this story, as you'll see if you read it, are saying it may not turn the tide, as it were, no pun intended. One lawsuit, but numbers of people making the same case against these same companies over time should have a significant impact. They either have to accept responsibility and start to change their ways, or they're going to make immense payouts over a long period of time, not going to be popular with the shareholders. And so maybe the legal remedy is the path that should be followed in this case. Again, read more about it, npr.org. Alistair Bland, the author of the piece we just talked about.